Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 5 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to encounter you. We want to know you. We want to walk with you, God. Teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I want to pause right there. This list of people is amazing. Maybe you may be familiar with the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. You know, he had this band of 300 instead of taking a massive, as many people as he could into this battle where they were just incredibly outnumbered. The Lord's like, they were incredibly outnumbered even if they had everyone they could muster. But the Lord's like, instead of taking all of these people, you're already outnumbered. Why not whittle it down to 300? Let's just go take 300 into a battle against tens of thousands of people. Why not? Let me show you how this works, Gideon. Famous story there. You may not be familiar with the story of Barak, of Jephthah. You probably know about David and Samuel. The one that sticks out to me is Samson. The fact that our writer here calls Samson someone of faith. Because most of the time when we look at Samson's life, we look at it as kind of a byword of people in the Old Testament, the guys that just got it wrong, that just didn't understand. And actually, Samson is one who should bring us a tremendous amount of comfort. We should not, there are definitely negative lessons we can learn from Samson's life and not do them. The story of Samson should be of great comfort to all of us, because most of us, if we look at the course of our life, we know how to sin. We know how to mess things up. All of us do. When we look at Samson, we should take comfort in the fact that the Lord calls him faithful. And the arc of Samson's life, the reason that he is faithful is, you know, the Lord gives him this gift of supernatural strength. I mean, he makes him He-Man before he's born, you know, tells his mother he's going to be like this. He's got to be a Nazarite. He can't touch wine or dead things and, you know, all these different rules that come with a Nazarite vow. Normally, Nazarite vows were for a short period of time. God tells Samson's mother, I want him a Nazarite for life. From the time he's a baby for the rest of his life. This isn't just a vow that I want him taking for a year. This is his entire life. Excuse me. And he does that and gives Samson this supernatural strength. He was a Hebrew. He was probably a short-looking Middle Eastern guy, maybe a little scrawny. And so when they come to Samson and say, what's the secret of your strength? They're not looking at this ridiculously muscle-bound, jock who spends all of his time in the gym, who's 6'7" and is just a beast of a man. That's not who Samson is. And like, you have superhuman strength. Where does it come from? He's just probably a normal looking guy. I mean, maybe he's fit, but he's not a massive guy. And so like, what's the secret of your strength? And what ends up happening is Samson has faith in the Lord. He knows where this strength comes from and it matters to him. And eventually he goes down this rabbit hole of sin long enough, like our writer of Hebrews warns us, to where it actually causes him not maybe to not believe that the Lord has given him the strength, but to not care. Samson walks into sin so long that it actually takes away his desire to care about the will of the Lord or anything. And that's where this whole idea of allegiance comes to. Samson's allegiance, and throughout his entire life, he's really kind of self-centered, but his allegiance was to the Lord in the early years of his life. And at some point, he stops caring about that allegiance, and he really only cares about himself. They poke his eyes out, they throw him in the dungeon, and they let his hair grow back. And it mentions that his hair grows back in the story in Judges, but really, Samson is brought out during this big party. And it's not necessarily that Samson's hair had just grown back out, but he actually prays one last time. He says, "Lord, let me take these people out." The Lord had raised Samson up as a judge, as someone who was supposed to free the people, free his people from the oppression of these Philistines. And Samson, one last time, as he prays to God, he pledges this allegiance back to God. He basically says, "With my dying action, let me do what you put me on this earth to do and give my people, your people, freedom." He sacrifices himself. At some point, that self-centeredness shifts and his allegiance turns back to God. And it took a dungeon without eyes to get Samson there, but he came back. And he sacrifices himself to free the Israelites from the oppression and bondage of the Philistines, who were a heinously wicked people. I mean, Samson was no saint, but the Lord sent him to free the people from these heinously wicked people. And the Lord remembers him. Samson's allegiance went back to the Lord. That should give us hope. The standards here that the Lord holds us to, we don't have to be super saints. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to say yes to him. If Samson gets into this list, that should give you and I a tremendous amount of hope. That should give us faith that faith is not as hard as the people writing books want you to believe. It's very possible. It's very tangible. It's very present for you and I. Verse 35. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. This is referencing many of the prophets in the Old Testament. They suffered greatly at the hands of their own people very often, who didn't want to hear the words of the Lord. They're so steeped in their sin, they didn't want to hear what the Lord had to tell them, because most of the time it was very, very negative. And so they persisted. They didn't shrink back from what the Lord told them to say, even though it cost many of them their lives. It cost almost all of them a great deal of comfort. The Lord had many of them do some really weird actions, like prophetic acts to demonstrate what the Lord was saying and going on, and really made them look even weirder in the eyes of the people. And they did it anyway, because the Lord told them to. And they knew that what they were going to gain was far better than what they were giving up on this earth. They gave up a lot of respect, or any respect, dignity, things like that. They gave it up because they saw into eternity and it was worth it to them. I pray that we will see into eternity so that it will be worth it to us. Guys like Isaiah, you know, they were guys like Isaiah, some of the other prophets, they were sawed in two and pulled apart. I mean, just really heinous deaths that they had these prophets go through. And I love that statement. The world was not worthy of them. I would love to be known in the courts of heaven as someone who this world is not worthy of. I want to be worthy of that next life. I really like it here. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure all of you listening really like it here, but I want to live and believe in such a way where there is nothing in this life that I would trade in exchange for something in the next. I want to live my life fully convinced that the Lord is going to reward those who follow him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray that we can live that life now. Verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. What our author here is talking about is in the resurrection. Together in the resurrection, we will all inherit the perfect promises of God. We can inherit smaller p promises of God in this life, but the big promises, the capital P promises of God, they are reserved for us and for these saints of times past. They are reserved in eternity. When we are resurrected, we will inherit them together. And these faithful people, they saw that. My prayer for me and for you is that we will see that too. I want that to be a reality in my life. To be honest, I mean, there are places in my life where that is absolutely a reality. There are other places where I'm not so sure. There's other places where I'm pretty sure that's not the reality that I live by. I want what the Lord has in store for me for all eternity to affect and transform every aspect of my life now. I pray that you want the same. I pray that you seek the same because it's worth it. It really is. I pray that the Lord will give us eyes into eternity that would transform us today. Well, that's it for today. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is such an amazing chapter, chapter 11. Such a beautiful chapter. How powerful this testimony of faith. It's not as far off. It's not as difficult as it may seem. It's not ethereal. It's tangible. We can have it. It can be measured. It can be seen. And it can give us confidence. If it were ethereal, we would never have confidence in it. Because it'll always be subject to our own definition. But it's tangible. We can see it in our own faith as we grow in it. We can see it. And it can give us greater confidence to grow in faith and move closer and closer toward the Lord. I love that. This is available to you and I. This isn't something far off. It's not for spiritual gurus. It really is attainable for you and I. Anyway, I'm so glad you joined me this week. As always, I do appreciate when you leave a review on iTunes or any other of the podcasting platforms. It helps other people find out about this podcast. And I want people fascinated with God's word. I want them fascinated with God. And I pray that this would be a place where you and other people would come, can come to be fascinated by God and his word. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next week with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.